The clock starts the moment a doctor says the word urgent. A woman looks at a wall calendar and counts forward. Travel time. Wait lists. Time off from work. Childcare. Gas. A stranger's couch near a clinic because hotels cost too much. She runs a finger across a map and sees how the counties go quiet. No provider listed. She checks the bus schedule and sees the transfer happens after midnight. She calls a clinic and hears the hold music stretch. She calls her mother to say she will be late for pickup. She calls her boss and asks for a day that she does not have. The clock keeps moving. The decision is still hers on paper. In practice, it feels like a hallway that narrows with every step. She wonders who designed this hallway. She wonders how far she will have to go before the door at the end opens. Chapter 1, The Access Maze. The problem begins with distance. Not the distance measured by a ruler. The distance that wraps around a person's day. In many counties, there is no clinic at all. The map has wide spaces where care used to exist, and now does not. People drive an hour, then 2 hours, then more. They leave in the dark to arrive at dawn. They turn back when a car light comes on and a warning blinks. The road becomes part of the decision. The odometer starts to speak louder than any brochure. Cost rides with distance. Gas adds up. A hotel adds up. Childcare adds up. Unpaid time off is its own bill. Insurance does not always help. Some plans carve out exclusions or add hurdles that take time to clear. A person stands at a counter and hears that a certain card will not run for this service. They swallow and ask for the total. The number is higher than rent. The clerk is kind but cannot change it. Kindness cannot reduce a quote. The math turns into a wall. Time is the harshest piece. Many kinds of care are tied to windows. Miss the window and the options shift. Schedules must align with clinic hours and lab hours and pharmacy stock. A shift worker trades days with a co-worker and risks a write-up. A student checks a class roster and sees a lab practical that cannot be moved. A parent draws a grid on paper and writes down school drop-off, therapy, a dentist for a child, and a court date that landed on the same week. Time does not bend for one appointment. The clock keeps its pace while the person tries to move all the pieces at once. Waitlists stretch across this timeline. A person calls and hears the first available date is 3 weeks away. The voice on the phone sounds tired. She explains that cancellations do happen. She suggests calling each morning at 8. The caller nods and writes down 8 a.m. She sets a daily alarm. It rings on the bus. It rings in the break room. It rings while she is washing a sink full of bottles. She calls and asks about the list. She hears the same apology. She thanks the staff anyway. Gratitude feels like a tax people pay to keep the door open. Conscientious refusal appears without warning. A pharmacist says they will not fill a medication. A driver scheduled by a voucher program cancels after reading the destination. A local clinic offers a test, but not the follow-up. The person hears the word cannot and feels the plan collapse. It takes courage to try again after a door closes with a moral speech. The next call is slower. The voice is flatter. The person learns to ask the hard question first. Do you provide this service? They wait for the answer before they let hope rise. Language shapes access in quiet ways. A caller who learned English in adult classes asks a question, and the staff member responds too fast. A key word is missed. The person repeats the question and hears a sigh. Shame enters the room like smoke. Translation lines help when they exist. When they do not exist, a teenager becomes the interpreter for a parent. The roles flip and both feel the strain. Forms stack up with boxes that do not match the person's story. A wrong answer leads to delays. A delay can close a window. It takes only one small mismatch to stall the entire process. Immigration status changes everything. Fear moves decisions underground. People avoid large hospitals because they worry about a record that could surface later. They avoid buses with cameras. They avoid hotels that ask for ID. They pay in cash and choose distant clinics because anonymity feels safer in a town where everyone knows the color of your car. The fear may not match the policy on paper. Fear does not wait for perfect knowledge. It acts fast. It narrows choices long before a front desk prints a wristband. Disability access is often an afterthought. A clinic entrance has a ramp, but the exam rooms are small. A person who uses a power chair cannot turn fully to the table. Staff members are kind but untrained with transfers. A lift exists in a storage closet, and no one knows where the key is. the person reschedules and tries a larger hospital. The larger hospital has the space, but not the flexible schedule. Transport that can secure the chair is booked solid. Each attempt takes a day. Energy is a budget like money. The account runs low after too many tries. Rural life adds a layer that city planners do not feel. A single bus line runs twice a day. The morning bus arrives before the clinic opens. The evening bus leaves before the last appointment ends. Rideshare coverage is thin and surge pricing can double a fare. A neighbor offers to drive, but asks for gas money. The person says yes and counts bills again. Weather is not a small detail. A flood closes the only bridge into town. A heat wave makes long waits outside unsafe. The clinic tries to call patients to shift times. Cell service drops in valleys. Messages stack in outboxes. Urban life brings a different set of hurdles. Clinics are near, but waitlists are long. Crowded lobbies make privacy feel fragile. Work shifts are strict and fines come with lateness. An employer accepts a doctor note for some visits and questions others. Security guards ask for bags to be searched. A person who carries formula and diapers feels exposed while the line watches. Stigma can walk beside a person even when services are only a block away. The short distance does not mean an easy path. Information itself can be scarce or noisy. A person searches for a clinic and sees many names that sound helpful. Some are not what they claim. They ask for personal details and offer counseling that delays time-sensitive care. The person leaves more confused than before. She wonders who can be trusted. She writes down 2 phone numbers and tries again. She learns to ask direct questions. She learns to listen for clear yes or no answers. She learns that confusion is not an accident. Confusion is part of the maze. Insurance gaps form a river that cuts through all these stories. People move between jobs and lose coverage for a month. They earn just above a threshold and miss a program by a few dollars. Their plan lists a clinic that closed last winter. A referral requires a primary doctor appointment first. The earliest primary slot is next month. A person sits in a small room and explains that they cannot wait that long. The nurse nods with real sympathy. The computer does not nod. The computer says the next step is fixed. Privacy weighs on every decision. People worry about a digital trail on a shared phone. They worry about a ride that posts locations by default. They worry about a bank statement that lists a clinic name. They worry that a friend who means well will share a post that reveals too much. They worry about mail that arrives at a house where other eyes sort the envelopes. Privacy takes planning. Planning takes time. Time is already short. The human pieces matter most. A partner who is supportive becomes a bridge. A partner who is controlling becomes a lock. A supervisor who trusts an employee makes space in a schedule. A supervisor who jokes about people like you closes that space. A cousin watches the kids without judgment. An aunt offers a couch. A neighbor offers a ride and does not ask questions. Community can widen a narrow hallway. Community can also narrow it more. Each of these barriers does not simply add to the others. They multiply. Distance plus cost becomes a decision to skip a second visit. Waitlists plus a strict work schedule becomes a missed window. Language hurdles plus fear of paperwork becomes silence. The maze is not random. It has patterns. These patterns push certain people to the edges. Young people without savings. Parents who manage care for others. People who do not speak the language that the front desk expects. People who live far from large hospitals. People who already carry stigma into rooms. In this chapter, there are no solutions offered. There is only a clear map of obstacles. A reader can trace a finger across it and see where the path narrows. Some paths never start because the first call is too hard. Some paths end at a locked door with a polite sign. Some paths loop back to the beginning and take more money the second time. The person walking the maze is still the person with the right to decide. The maze changes what that right looks like in real life. In short, access depends on distance, money, the calendar, and a door that may or may not open when you arrive. The next question is simple and hard. Who stands behind the locked doors? Who holds the keys? And who decided the clock should move this fast? Chapter 2, Gatekeepers and Systems. Last chapter mapped the maze of access built from distance, money, and time. The first gate often looks like a phone tree. A person calls an insurer and hears a recorded voice ask for numbers. The screen at a call center shows a queue that never drops below 20. The case is coded as routine. The clock that matters sits on a desk far from the exam room. Prior authorization means approval before care. It sounds orderly. In practice, it means a file moves across screens while a person tries to hold a place on a calendar. Denials arrive in short letters. The letter uses terms that sound precise. Medical necessity. Experimental. Out of network. Each term hides a judgment. The appeal process exists. It takes time that a person does not have. Inside clinics, the rules continue. A nurse checks a chart and sees a box that must be ticked before the doctor can proceed. The box refers to a policy set by a committee that the patient will never meet. The staff do not always agree with the policy. They follow it because the system pays or does not pay based on the box. A counselor is required in some settings. The counselor may help. The counselor may delay. A state form requires a signature that triggers a waiting period. The person nods and asks for the earliest follow-up. The answer is a date that lands after the window for one option closes. The law does not mention the window. The law speaks in general words. Biology speaks in hours and days. Pharmacy counters become choke points. A prescription is written and sent. A person arrives to pick it up and learns the store does not have stock. The clerk offers to order it. The shipment will arrive in 2 days. The person asks to transfer the script to another branch. The system blocks the transfer because of a flagged status. Another store has the medication, but the pharmacist on duty declines to fill it. Conscience clause. The person asks to speak with a manager. The manager is polite and cannot compel the fill. The policy allows refusal by the individual and also by the site. The person leaves with a new task. Find a pharmacy that will fill. The window keeps moving. For teenagers, the rules take a different shape. Notification laws and consent laws vary by place. The words sound close and carry different weight. Notification means a guardian is informed. Consent means a guardian must agree. A teenager stands at a clinic door and tries to understand which law applies in this county. She thinks about safety at home. She thinks about trust. She thinks about school the next day. She thinks about the bus that only runs twice afternoon. She hears that a judge can sometimes grant permission. The courthouse is across town and closes at 4. The clinic cannot give legal advice. The nurse can only give a printed sheet with a list of offices. The sheet uses small font and a long column of numbers. Workplaces play a larger role than policymakers admit. A person asks for time off and hears that the shift is already thin. The supervisor asks for the reason. The person says medical and leaves it there. The supervisor asks for a note. The clinic prints a generic note that proves little. The leave portal requires a category. The drop-down menu does not match the need. Colleagues talk. A rumor begins that the person is having a particular kind of care. The rumor travels faster than the person. Stigma enters meetings and break rooms. A worker who lacks power swallows the comments to keep the job. The right to medical privacy exists. Culture can make it feel fragile at the moment it matters most. Schools, faith spaces, and local networks act as quiet gatekeepers. A campus clinic offers general services and refers out for anything specialized. The referral is across town and outside the student plan. A chaplain preaches about duty to life in broad terms. The sermon is not aimed at anyone and still lands on someone. A community leader runs a food pantry that many rely on. The leader posts a notice about a bus trip to a counseling center that promises free services. The center does not provide the service in question. It offers videos and long sessions that speak about regret and risk. The counselors are kind. The time spent there replaces the time needed at a licensed site. Information control shapes every step. Search results mix licensed clinics with centers that only sound clinical. Addresses can be misleading. A person calls a number and is asked many questions before any details are given in return. The script keeps the caller on the line and suggests appointments that cannot meet urgent needs. Misinformation appears as concern. It uses the voice of care to delay. It lists complications with no context on how rare they are. It uses stock images to create weight without data. The caller leaves unsure which facts to trust. Uncertainty drains the energy needed to call a verified clinic. Data trails add pressure that is hard to explain to outsiders. A shared phone can reveal search history. Location settings record visits by default. A calendar shared with a partner syncs automatically. A ride app emails receipts that show addresses. Banking apps list merchant names. A patient portal pings a notification that pops up on a smartwatch at home. A friend posts a photo that shows a storefront sign in the corner of the frame. None of these by themselves reveal a private decision. Taken together, they sketch a story. People start to plan around the trail. They borrow phones. They pay cash. They avoid portals. Each protective step removes a convenience that other patients use without thought. Records and reporting create another layer. Some clinicians feel watched by boards and by hospital counsel. They write notes that are technically correct and light on detail. They mark codes that will be read by auditors months later. They weigh the risk of a review against the duty to care today. In some regions, mandatory reporting rules are broad. Staff are trained to ask certain questions and to act if they hear certain words. Patients learn to speak around the edges. The shared goal should be safety. The experience is often fear. Fear narrows honesty. Narrowed honesty weakens care. Insurance fraud units and utilization management teams do their jobs as they see them. They search for patterns that suggest overuse or misuse. They build algorithms that flag outliers. Outliers include clinics that serve high-need populations. A flagged status triggers more checks. More checks trigger delays. Delays harm people who live close to the edge of a window. None of this is designed with malice. The effect can still be harmful when the clock is tight and the stakes are high. At the county level, boards set budgets that ripple through services. A line item looks small in a meeting. The same line item pays for a van that brings patients from rural areas. When the line item is cut, the van stops. The board notes that clinics still exist in the city. They do not ride the morning bus that arrives before the doors open. They do not hold a child while filling out forms on a phone with a cracked screen. They do not call a sister to ask for one night on a couch near an appointment. Policy is real. Lived life is more real. Faith-affiliated hospitals serve large regions. Some follow directives that restrict certain procedures. The nurse on the night shift does not write the directives. The nurse follows them. A patient arrives in distress that is not stable. The team acts to stabilize. Later steps would fall under restricted categories. The team calls a transfer and waits for an accepting bed. The ambulance is on another call across the county. The time between a policy and a bed is measured in minutes that the patient can feel in her body. Privacy in small towns is different from privacy in cities. Front desk staff know family names. The lab tech grew up with a cousin who shares your last name. The dispatcher recognizes your address when you call for a ride. This is the strength of small places when crises hit. It is also a risk when judgment is common. People learn which hours are quiet. They learn which entrances are less visible. They learn who can be trusted to keep a confidence. Trust is currency. It is earned slowly and spent fast. Digital communication should help. It sometimes harms. A portal message that asks a question can be read by more than one staff member. An auto reply says, "Do not use this channel for urgent needs." The person used the channel because the phone lines were full. Text reminders are helpful until a partner sees them on a shared bill. Two-factor codes arrive on devices that others can access. Settings can be changed. Changing them takes time and skill. Not everyone has both. Every system described here has a purpose on paper. Stop fraud. Protect conscience. Inform guardians. Guide choices. Standardize care. The purpose is not the experience. The experience is a person who is told to wait while a file moves. The experience is a person who is told to ask a parent who may not be safe. The experience is a person who must decode which door is real. The gap between purpose and experience is where autonomy can shrink. This chapter does not offer fixes. It names the hands that hold the keys. Insurers who approve or deny. Pharmacists who fill or refuse. Committees that write forms. Employers who grant time or do not. Counselors who inform or delay. Networks that support or judge. The sum of these hands decides how real choice feels at the exact moment it is needed. The next chapter turns to what people can do within these limits without risking safety or law. The question remains open tonight. How does a person turn a maze run by gatekeepers into a path that leads to care on time? Chapter 3, Paths to Agency. The maze is real. People still find ways through it. This chapter gathers what helps without giving medical advice or legal direction. Laws and options change by place. Safety comes first in every step. The first tool is a real plan. A plan turns stress into actions. Write the goal in one line. Write the deadline in one line. List the steps in order with the time each one needs. Keep the plan short, so it fits on one page. Put the page where it can be reached fast. Telehealth can widen access when it fits the law and the type of care. A licensed service lists its clinicians. It lists the states or regions where it can serve. It lists fees in plain numbers. It sends a consent form that explains risks in clear words. A REAL service explains what it can do and what it cannot do. It tells you how follow-up works. If the site hides names or is vague about location, pause. Ask direct questions. Stop if answers are slippery. Patient navigators are quiet heroes. Some clinics and hospitals employ them. Some community groups train them. A navigator helps with forms and calls. A navigator knows which doors open faster. Ask the front desk if a navigator is available. Ask the local public health office. Ask a trusted community clinic. Keep the request simple. Say you need help with access, forms, and scheduling. Use the word navigator. It helps staff know what you mean. Money blocks many paths. Funds exist to ease travel, lodging, and child care. Some are run by clinics. Some are run by community groups. Ask for a social worker or a financial counselor. Say you need help with transport and a place to sleep. Ask what documents are needed. Keep receipts. Photograph them. If you get a denial, ask for the denial in writing. Written proof helps with appeals and with support programs. Work schedules need scripts. Short scripts protect privacy. Practice 1. I have a medical appointment that cannot move. I will bring a note. I need this date and I can trade for coverage. If pressed, repeat the first line. Do not add details. Put the request in writing after you speak. Save the reply. If the workplace has a policy for personal medical leave, follow the steps. If the culture is hard, ask a trusted coworker to swap shifts. Confirm the swap in writing. Schools and campuses can support more than people think. A student health office can give notes for classes. They can help with makeup exams. They can point to transport programs. Use simple language. I have a medical need. I need a new test date within 2 weeks. What steps should I take? Write down the steps while you are in the office. Read them back once to confirm. Privacy hygiene lowers stress. Start with devices. Turn off location history. Turn off automatic photo backups for a few days. Remove shared calendars if they expose details. Use a phone passcode. Clear recent searches. If the phone is shared, borrow a clean device for calls. Use cash when you can. Ask clinics about billing practices and how names will appear on statements. Ask if paper mail can be picked up in person. Ask if text reminders can be turned off. Small changes add up to real protection. Rides and lodging can be planned in layers. First layer is a ride from someone you trust. Second layer is a voucher program through a clinic or a community group. Third layer is public transport with a backup ride if wait times spike. Check weather 2 days before the trip. Check road closures. Set alarms for transfer times. Pack water, snacks, and phone power. If you travel with children, bring one quiet activity for each hour you expect to be out. Misinformation defense is a skill. Learn 3 questions. Do you provide this specific service? What is the soonest date? What is the total cost before insurance? If any answer is vague, end the call. Call a verified clinic next. When you arrive anywhere that seems off, look for license displays. License sites post credentials where people can see them. If you feel pressured to watch videos or attend long talks, you can leave. Your time matters. Consent is a right and a process. True consent names the service. It names the benefits and the risks. It names alternatives. It names what happens if you choose to do nothing. You sign only when you understand. You can ask for plain words. You can ask for an interpreter. You can ask to pause. You can say no. Write down any question that stays with you after the visit. Call back and ask it. Answers should be calm, specific, and without judgment. Documentation turns a person into their own advocate. Keep a small folder. Put in it dates, times, names, and what was said. Put denial letters in it. Put receipts in it. Photograph the folder in case it is lost. If a call is important, ask for a reference number. Write it down. If a staff member is kind and helpful, write down the name. Kindness is part of the record too. It can help if you need to escalate a case later. Appeals move faster with proof. If an insurer denies a service, ask for the reason in writing. Ask how to appeal. Ask for the appeal timeline in days. Submit every form on time. Keep copies. if a clinic cancels a needed appointment, ask for a written note that explains why. Ask for the next earliest date. Ask to be called if a slot opens. Put your phone number in the record twice. Repeat it back once. If you reach a dead end, ask for a supervisor. Community can be the bridge. A quiet cousin can watch kids. A neighbor can share a spare room. A friend can ride along and sit in the lobby. Ask for help in clear words. I have an appointment on this date. I need help with this task for these hours. People often want to help. They do better when they know exactly what is needed. Say thank you in a real way. A small note goes a long way. Clinicians often want to help within tight rules. Tell them the truth, they need to care for you. If a form is hard, say which line is confusing. If a policy blocks you, ask if any exceptions exist. Ask if there is a referral path that moves faster. Ask for copies of lab results and instructions. Read them once with the nurse before you leave. Repeat the next steps in your own words. Make sure the steps sound right to your ear. Safety planning matters if someone at home is controlling. Decide who can know your plan. Choose one safe contact. Set a code word for help. Store the folder at that person's home. Use neutral words in your calendar. Pack a small bag the night before. Put in it documents, a charger, a snack, and any needed supplies. Leave the bag with the safe contact if you cannot keep it at home. Language access is a right in many settings. If you need an interpreter, ask for one at the first call. Ask again at check-in. Do not rely on a child to translate. If an interpreter is not available, ask for the soonest date when one is. Ask if the visit can be moved to a site that has staff who speak your language. Ask for forms in your language. If forms are not available, ask for someone to read them aloud. For disability access, name the exact support you need. State that you use a power chair, a walker, or another device. Ask if the exam room fits your chair. Ask if staff are trained for transfers. Ask if a lift is on site and ready. Ask about curb cuts and doors. Ask about transport that can secure your device. If the clinic cannot meet your needs, ask for a referral to a site that can. Ask for the referral in writing. Day of logistics can decide the outcome. Confirm the appointment the day before. Confirm transport. Confirm child care. Lay out clothes. Charge devices. Put cash in a separate pocket. Eat something small. Bring a water bottle. Leave early. Build a cushion of 30 minutes. If you are delayed, call at once. Ask if you can keep your place. Ask if there is a late window. Stay calm. Staff can do more when you call before you arrive. After the visit, care shifts to recovery and records. Follow the instructions given by the clinician. Set alarms for medicines if any were given. Rest if you can. Save discharge papers. Put them in the folder. If anything feels wrong, call the site that treated you. Use the number on the paper. State your name, the date, and the concern in one sentence. Ask what to do next. If you cannot reach the site and the concern is urgent, seek urgent care. This is not a list of miracles. It is a list of levers. Each lever gives back a small piece of control. Put them together and the hallway widens. The decision returns to the person who must live with it. That is the point of care. That is the point of autonomy. The path is not easy. It can still be yours. The series ends with one question that sits beneath all others. How can systems measure success not by files closed, but by doors that open when time is short and help is needed now?